little heads up about Moses, Gina, and their family. Moses' mom is in the process of passing to going to be with the Lord. And so she's fighting, though. It's like she still has something that she needs to do. So we're going to pray for just the peace of God and the comfort of the Lord to be in that family. Their hearts are full of love and peace, but it's still tough. It's a hard time when you lose your mom. So, Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now. We lift up the entire Perez family, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord, that this passing of your saint, how sweet it is, Lord, that it would touch many of the younger hearts, Lord, that haven't truly yielded and surrendered, Lord, to your ways. Lord, we pray that the desire of Mama, Lord, that she would see, Lord, the salvation of her family. Lord, as she's prayed all these years, Lord, we pray that even her passing, God, would be one more step, Lord, for them to come to you. And we pray right now, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that she's waiting for, the situation, the circumstance, that it would come into your perfect place right now, and that she would be able to be released into your loving arms. And we just bless you, and we thank you, Lord, for her life, and thank you, Lord, for the Perez family. I'm going to read out of Psalm 66. It says, a song of praise. Everything on earth, shout with joy to God. That's us. Praise his glorious name. Honor him with songs of praise. Tell God your works are wonderful. Your great power makes your enemies bow down in fear before you. Let the whole world worship you. Let everyone sing praises to your name. Selah. Stop and think about that. Let the whole world worship you. Let everyone sing praises to your name. Look at what God has done. These things amaze us. He changed the sea to dry land, and his people went across the water on foot. So let's celebrate because of what he has done. He rules the world with his great power. He watches people everywhere. No one can rebel against him. Keep that in mind. No one can rebel against him. People praise our God. Sing loud songs of praise to him. He continues to give us life, and he keeps us from falling. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Guess what?
Creation, one of the very things. Stand against what go over there. So can you let me down here?
Over here?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it? Are you going to be okay on the stool, or should we get two chairs? You want to do that?
Okay.
Oh, can't, yeah. Is there a what? A title, John 9? Yeah.
No,
it's not the 9? Not the title?
Let's do...
How about this? What?
Do you see me now?
The blind see. The blind see.
Seeing blind.
Yeah, seeing blind. Well, that'll really come into play at the end of it.
Yeah.
So John 9 is 41 verses. So Gay's going like, I don't think we're going to get through the whole thing. How are you doing? Okay? Praise the Lord. I love that song, Christ Alone. I love that song, Do It Again. Those are some good songs. Oh. So are you going to be okay to read? Do you want me to read? Okay. So let's go ahead and we'll just read through, and then when I say okay, let's go ahead and stop for a moment. Which will probably be at verse 3.
John 9, 1 through 41. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Immediately went to 29. I'm trying to skip already. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, which means teacher.
Jesse. Oh, he's got it.
Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. It kind of reminds me of Nani when Nani was little, and it was like, why, you know? But it's so God, because he did such a miraculous work in her. All
Stephen,
of a sudden.
Stephen would be another example.
Stephen is another example, yes.
Even Aaron.
Yes.
I mean, his whole life, he was still, you know, in that state. But
yep.
I believe that it was that the works of God could be seen in him.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is Jesus. He's obviously passing through the Jerusalem area. This is after the Feast of Tabernacles and all the other situations that happened with the Pharisees and you know, the confrontations they had. And so I don't know exactly the timeline, but we know that this is as he was passing by. It could have been as he was leaving the temple when he hid himself from the Pharisees when he was confronting them. And it says that his disciples ask him a question, and I think it's interesting. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And it's interesting, you know, because in this timeline, his disciples had been with him for a while now, I believe. You know, because we're talking about the feeding of the 5,000. You know, we're talking some time in his ministry, and yet they're still thinking that obviously somebody sinned so that God's out to get them and so that it's a curse on them. And Jesse and I were talking a little bit before church, and he was talking how he was listening to a gentleman who has cerebral palsy. And sounds like he'd had it a long time, most of his life, right? And someone who could be, you know, a Christian or even, you know, secular could say, well, there's something wrong, you know, with these people. There's something wrong in their genes. There's something genetically going on. There's, you know, some Christians would say, well, they just don't have enough faith. They don't believe. Because if he believed, then he could be healed from this cerebral palsy. And, you know, I can tell you, Aaron, when he was born, what happened? Sneeze? Tissue's right up there. Need a shower, right?
anyway, when Aaron, that's our son who's passed and he is with Jesus. He's not dead. He is alive, but he is alive in Christ and fully in the glorious place now. But when he was about 9 months old, he ended up having a terrible seizure. And because up to that point, he was like grabbing my fingers and he was starting to just barely walk. He was slow, but he was still, you know, seemed to be moving along. And then after that seizure, he was basically, symptomatic with all of the terrible things you can get with cerebral palsy. He was paraplegic. He couldn't walk. He had to have all of his physical care taken, all of his needs taken care of, just like a baby. And he was that way pretty much till 14. He could never do anything for himself. But about 1.5, we started having a Monday night prayer meeting. And the prayer meeting was for Aaron. And I mean, we did this every single Monday night. And we had healers come in. We had people, you know, traveling ministers would come. And I mean, and we would pray sometimes 2 hours for him. So it wasn't like prayer wasn't going up. And you know, it's like there has to be a reason, you know. And so we're like, okay, is it my sin, or is it, you know, my wife's sin at the time, or is it, you know, or is it that our prayers aren't good enough? And so you get all these things that go through your head that are very religious, because you think that because of his condition something is really wrong. And you think that it's got to be fixed. And you know, I've had healings in my body that were supernatural, twos that were completely abscessed, that were temporarily put in a stasis where I didn't feel any pain until the dentist got to it 7 years later, and he says, "You have a totally abscessed tooth here. I don't even know how you're, you know," and it didn't infect or anything, but he of course had to pull it. And I guess my point is that God could have healed Aaron. Yeah. But I believe that it wasn't because Aaron was bad or we were bad or our faith wasn't strong enough or we didn't pray hard enough. It was the fact that the works of God were being displayed in him.
And there's a story that I want to tell about when we were over at Children's Hospital after he was put on the respirator. I had gone, Mike was in San Diego for a business trip when this happened, and then Mike's sister Maya and I went over as they ambulanced Aaron over. Well, they flew him over and then ambulanced him to Children's Hospital, and they did surgery, and then he came out, and he was just in a terrible state. He was in ICU, so we could only go in one time an hour to see him for about 10 minutes and then had to leave. And so every time I would go in, it was such a miracle to me, because he didn't do this ever until he was in the hospital. But every time I'd say baby, he'd turn his face toward my voice and look me right in the eye. And now, if those of you that know Aaron, Aaron's two eyes were going in separate directions. But he would look straight at me, and I would tell him, "Baby, if you want to go home and be with Jesus, you can." And it was almost like he would shake his head yes at me. And these nurses are like, they couldn't believe how calm he was and how he would acknowledge both our voices. Mm-hmm. He did that every time. And he'd never done that at home, just after he went to the hospital. So God, I mean, this is God's work being displayed in a little boy's body that brought encouragement and comfort to us, to the nurses, to his foster mom, not foster mom, but what is she, respite care mom? Anyway, just all of these people that never, you know, they didn't see that very often. And so God's works were being displayed in Aaron for all of us.
Yeah.
I believe.
And, you know, and he was at Children's for over 3 months, almost 3 months, right?
Two
months? Okay. A long time. And we were going over there almost every weekend, staying with them, you know, sleeping in Ronald McDonald's houses and sometimes on cots in the hospital But he recovered. He recovered, and actually the doctor gave him, wow, he's doing really well. He's strong, clean bill of health. And it was just a few days later, just in the middle of the night, he just said, okay, now I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go when I'm sick in the hospital. I want to be at home. And he did. He went to be with Jesus.
In his bed. Yeah.
Now, when he was in his mother's womb, I really desired to have a baby. You know, it was like in my heart because I wanted the Father's heart. You know, I wanted it so bad, you know, and I'm laying hands on him and I'm saying, Lord, thank you for this baby. I know he's going to teach me the Father's heart. And it wasn't like till Aaron was like 7 years old. And I remember one time I was just sitting there and I'm just going like, Lord, I want so much for Aaron to turn and say, hey, Dad, you know, just all those things that you want as a dad. You know, you want him to acknowledge you, want him to just, you know, say, I love you, Dad. Thank you for everything. Whatever it was, you know, just that something that was acknowledgement there. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he says, ah, this is exactly what I want for my children. I want them to acknowledge me. I want them to turn their faces toward me. I want them to tell me that what I'm doing for them is good. And I realized that I'd received my prayer. I'd gotten the Father's heart. I understood that the depths of the Father, how he longed for us in our, what seeming to be our almost cerebral palsy state, when you think about it, such a fallen, you know, handicapped state, yeah. And how much he wanted us to recognize him, you know. And it was at his funeral, and I remember coming up, and I just said, you know, I just want to tell you that Aaron's life was, even though he never said a word, you know, really, he never you know, could accomplish anything physical, but he had worked the works of God in so many lives. People said that, you know, they'd be around him and they just felt the love of God and the peace of God. And there were times that we would go into his room and he would be like reaching up his arms like he was trying to grab things, or he'd be looking all over like he was seeing something. He would be laughing. And I believe that he got like angelic visitors to just, you know, keep him so that he doesn't go crazy. And I guess my point being is that he was probably more connected with God than you and I were.
Right.
Even though from all aspects, he seemed like he was disabled. Uh-huh. Maybe he was more enabled than we were. Yeah. And we cannot grasp the depths of the walk that he walked.
Yeah.
So what are we trying to say here? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, in one of those times when he was doing that, and he was reaching up and he was looking like he was trying to grab something from heaven, I walked in the room and he had laid down beside Aaron on the bed, and because he had to be in a special bed that had like a, you know, so he couldn't fall out. So he crawled in beside him in between the wood and Aaron, and he was just stroking his face like this. And Aaron was just verbally acknowledging Daddy's touch on his face. And he kept saying, isn't he beautiful? Isn't he beautiful? And I'm like, he's the most beautiful thing in the world. And he's like, and Aaron goes like this, yeah. Like, it's almost like he was agreeing with us that he was the most beautiful thing in the world. It was so precious because it was such a God moment. But it was after he realized the heart of the Father and he realized what that truly meant. And I want that more. I want that more than, you know, because that's true acceptance of people where they are and how they are, how broken they are, how needy they are. That is true acceptance of them in their state, loving them because Jesus loves them and knowing there's better for them than where they're at. Yes, Bob.
God has his plan, you know, and that way, it's the glory of
seeing the glory of God. Yeah, manifested. Yeah. That's good, Bob.
Yeah. Well, and I was just going to say that we're better people because of Aaron being in our lives, you know, and you don't recognize that always at the time,
no.
You know, because like you said, there's taking care of a child with cerebral palsy when he's 14 years old and has no capabilities of helping you, assisting with anything. It is a lot of work, but that just seemed to be like part of what we had to do.
Yeah,
there was still something deeper going on, you know.
And we could feel it.
We knew that something deeper
was happening the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like there were times, like I remember when Tony Allward, is that was his name, was here ministering, and I don't know if any of you all remember him or not, but he was prophetic, and he prayed over Aaron one time, and all of a sudden just the grief in me was like, I have not prayed for him enough. I just felt this weight, and someone came up to me and was praying with me, and this is what she said. She goes, that's condemnation, and that is not from God. You know, you see your son whole, and you've prayed for him, and do not allow the enemy to make you carry the weight of where you lack, because God would, you know, God would move in you when you needed him to. So, it truly was a life-changing time for us. It really was, completely, because yeah. Stephen, our Stephen, was born with cerebral palsy, and God healed him.
At completely. 5 months or 6 months? Or
at 6 months old.
6 months old.
And I'm telling you guys, because remember he said at 9 months, Aaron was kind of holding on, and Stephen was showing...
It was worse than...
Way worse than Aaron. Like, Stephen was having seizures at 2 months, was not crawling, was not walking, was not rolling over, was not smiling, was doing nothing, and having multiple seizures a day. And this little tiny body that weighed less than he weighed when he was born, he was born at 7 pounds, 9 ounces, he was in the 6 pound area at 6 weeks old. So he was just this skinny, small little thing. And miraculously, God healed him. And it's like, okay, Stephen, but why not Aaron? God knows all of that. And we have to be okay with that. And we have to be okay that the works of God might be displayed is displayed differently in Aaron than it was displayed in Stephen. It doesn't negate any of God's healing power at all. It just was a different healing, a different way that God's works were displayed. And we had to accept that. And sometimes that was really hard for me because I just wanted it so badly for Aaron. And it wasn't happening. And so I told Mike, I said, why isn't it happening? And he said the scripture in Psalm about hope deferred.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my in the Proverbs. Mm-hmm. But my hope was in a physical healing, when my hope, I believe, should have been in a spiritual realm, should have been in the spiritual side of it. Because Aaron, like I said, in the hospital, like he ministered his little body with a tube down his throat and everything intubated. He ministered to those nurses. He was their favorite. Like, and it was only God through him that they saw. Do you know what I mean? So when I was praying for him, you share about the hope deferred because you had a take on it.
I'm not exactly sure where
when we were praying for Aaron and it wasn't happening. And
are you saying years ago?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Well, that was another part of the process. You know, that was even before the real revelation came to me
about the Father's heart.
But when we kept praying on Monday nights and not seeing anything, after a while you kind of lose hope. You do. Yeah, but what first happened is that we have this, I mean, you know, you hear all these, you know, I think we took him to Benny Hinn, we took him to the Happy Hunters, I mean, we took him to every healing meet. I mean, you know, this wasn't like we didn't try, you know, and it was crazy because when we went to Benny Hinn, there was a healing line and he went by everybody and passed Aaron. It was the craziest thing, you know, and so it's, you know, for all we know, as, you know, Benny Hinn says, well, this boy is the way he's supposed to. I don't know, you know. And so we had a lot of hope because, you know, we believed in healing. We read all the healings, anything you did. And we listened to Kenneth Copeland. I had always listened to Kenneth Copeland. I was a faith man, you know. So faith was going to move mountains, like we sang the song there. And so there was nothing that was going to stop Aaron from being healed. That was my determination at the time. Just as you believe there's nothing going to stop Stephen from being healed. But at one point, I realized that it wasn't happening. It was years, you know, and I said, okay. And I started losing hope. And my hope was being deferred. And what hope deferred makes the heart sick means that if you have hope in something that isn't going to come to pass or isn't coming to pass fast enough, like I didn't have an eternal perspective at that time.
Like you do now.
No, yeah. I mean, this boy needed healing. This boy needed to be healthy. This boy needed to be, you know, the righteousness of my seed, all these things, you know, that are promises of God, you know, be a conqueror on the earth. You know, I had a very limited view of the kingdom of God at that time. But my heart kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier because my hope was being deferred. It was being put off and my heart was getting sick. To the place where it can affect even your love for God. It can affect your relationship with the Lord. And so as the Lord really put that on my heart and helped me realize that, he helped me through that. And my hope started going away from Aaron being healed to Aaron being fulfilling his destiny and his plan that God had for him here. And that brings me to this point, because while we were reading here, I thought, you know, I've always read this. And it was not that this man sinned, that's pretty clear, or his parents sinned, Jesus is saying, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And this is the first time I ever saw this. How do we all read this? We read this, that when Jesus healed him, the works of God were being displayed in him, right? What if his whole life previous to that had been showing the works of God? Because obviously this young man, as you read further in the story, was very open to God. Even though he was blind, he saw. He had great vision. So what if he was one of the most compassionate people that anyone had ever met? What if he exuded God's nature and character? And yet we read him at this point in a handicapped state. Now Jesus is bringing him to full healing, and he's very... But what if the works of God is more than just the healing? What if it's his whole life? What if, and I believe that's really what our life is. Our life isn't little moments of glory, little moments of miracles. Our life is our life. And our life is meant to bring the works of God. And sometimes just showing compassion at the right time can be the works of God. Sometimes just helping someone up when they've fallen and not judging them can be the works of God. Or giving somebody a hug when their heart's broken can be the works of God. Well, it doesn't have to be all fancy.
And that reminds me, because Saturday when we went over to Cottage to see Moses and Gina and the family, and Moses's brother Pete, his son had cancer and was at Children's Hospital. And when we went over to Seattle to see them, well, we were doing something, but we stopped to see them. And they were already in a motel room because he was having chemotherapy. And he said, now this is Grandma laying in the bed that's at Cottage. He said about Grandma, he heard her speaking in tongues and having power of God, and he wanted that. 14 years old, he wanted that. So we went over there, and he got that. We prayed over him. He got that. So when we went out to Cottage, and when I was standing there, he came walking toward me. I didn't even recognize him.
I didn't either, no.
He was buff. He had full head of hair. He was muscular. And he wrapped me in his arms, and he hugged me so tight and said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it wasn't because we took the time while we were over on the coast to go by and see him in a hotel. It's because he felt the love of God. God's work had been displayed in his life. It has changed that young man's life. Dominic will never be the same again. It truly has changed him. And so he just
We're not even strangers to him. He walked up, hugged me like that. Then he hugged Mike like that. I mean.
And I'm hugging him like, oh, who is this?
Yeah, like, I don't even know who this is. I knew immediately.
Then once he went over to Mama, I said, oh, that's who it is.
Yeah, I knew immediately. But honestly, physically, you could not tell the difference between the boy we saw in Seattle and this young man. You just couldn't. I'm like, holy moly, Jesus really did a good thing in him, you know, because, and God's work was displayed in him.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Okay, so I have to say that I believe that if you hadn't, I know it was hard to go through what you did with Aaron, but I think that it made you stronger. It made you, maybe, it's so hard to explain, but I think that we go through these things because God is trying to get our attention. I recently went through something very scary, but I feel like it's because God was trying to get my attention. And I feel like the journeys that we go through and the paths that we have to go down are to make us stronger in him for other people, to share his love with other people. I went in to have a normal mammogram a few weeks ago, and it came back abnormal. And let me tell you that this is scariest news to get. And they found some abnormalities, so I was going through all these hoops and doing all this testing and just doing what they're asking me to do. And the whole time I was just thinking, God, why are you making me go through this? Why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to go through this. I don't. So my last hoop, I guess, was on Thursday. And so I went in and they were going to do a biopsy. And the two nurses that have been really helpful to me the whole time I was going to the mammography place were there, and I just thought it was weird that they were both there. Like, who's running the clinic? Because both these ladies are here. Like, who's doing their job? So this one lady, her name's Dana, and she, I just feel like that I did that, I had to go through this for her. Like, I had to touch her in some way. So I'm in the room, and she's like, okay, we're going to do the ultrasound so the doctor can see exactly the spot we're going to work on. And so we'll do the biopsy there. And that morning I got up and I told Zeke, I'm like, babe, we're going to go, and they're not going to find anything. Like, I'm going to go, and it's going to be gone. He's like, I'm glad you have that reassurance. He's like, but we still need to go because we got to get this taken care of. And I'm like, I know, I'm not saying that I don't want to go, but I just truly, God has put in my heart that I'm going to go and there's not going to be anything there. And so we're sitting in the room and she calls us back, and I go into the room and they're getting ready to do the ultrasound. And so both ladies are there, and she says, huh, I can't find the spot. And I said, that's because they're gone. They're not there. You're not going to find them. She's like, you know how they do? Okay, but we're still going to go ahead, and I'll just have the other lady do the ultrasound too. Maybe I'm just not in the right spot. Maybe my head's not clear. Maybe, you know, this and that. And I'm like, okay, but you're still not going to find them. And so the other lady's doing the ultrasound, and she's like, no, you're too far. No, that's too close. Anyway, so they spent, it felt like forever. Like, they had to find those spots. Like, they were not going to take me telling them that they were gone. They weren't going to accept that. They had to find that. And I'm like, you guys, you're not going to find those spots. They're just not there. And she's like, you're right. They're gone. I just don't understand. And I said, I told you, God healed me. You weren't going to find those spots today. So all that to say, I feel like it was hard going through that. But when you're going through something like that, just keep in mind that you're going through it for a reason. And it's not for you. It's for somebody else. It's to make somebody else stronger. It's to give somebody else the encouragement that they need. So, I know it's hard to go through things like that. It's hard. It's really hard. And for me, it was super hard because my husband's always been the one to say, well, if you don't want to do it, I'll do it. Or I know you don't want to do that, so I'll do it for you. But this was something that I had to do myself. So I just believe that going through something that is hard and emotional is for a reason.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is good.
And Dana saw the works of God displayed in Tara.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she saw. And your confidence in that. And your assurance that God was not going to leave you. And even if they had found it, your hope that God would heal you is very strong. And it may not have been at that time. It may have been at a different time. But still, do you see what I'm saying? Dana needed to see that for some reason. Tara, you needed to walk through it for some reason. But God displayed his works in you. His good works. That's so awesome.
Does anyone have anything else? Yeah. Go ahead and come on up.
So a few years ago, Miriam had a grandma that was in her deathbed in Portland. I didn't know the lady, and I guess she wasn't quite the loving grandma. Is that correct? Yeah. And so we went to say final goodbyes, you know, because the time was coming. And
mm-hmm.
And we were asked, you know, a family that doubted our faith when we came over to Christianity, you know, giving us all the negatives. And we were standing strong in our faith with God at the time, you know, and I believe it was her mom that asked, well, can you guys come so you can pray over her? So, absolutely. So we went, and after a while, we go up to her aunt was caregiver, so she went and kind of prepared the room a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, but this lady, physically and mentally, she was gone. She was just in her bed, just mumbling and shaking, and so we're praying over her, and you know, and I asked, you know, this is in Spanish, of course, and I told her, you know, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And she stopped, and she looked at me and said, huh? And I said, God loves you. There's no doubt about that. Your sins are forgiven as of this very moment. But it blew me away that when I told her, God loves you, she actually stopped and looked at me and said, huh? You know, so, yeah, instead of just keeping on rallying or whatever she was doing, you know, It didn't scare me, nothing like that. It's just that the Word of God, you know, her works were displayed. God's Word was displayed for me to see that there is power in the name of Jesus.
Sure.
You know, that just made me a stronger person of prayer.
Right.
From that very moment.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do you have anything to share, Jess? Yeah. Okay. I was just curious. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. I think this is good. Yeah, we don't need to. Yeah. Father,
that's
we just.
Right. We only made it to three scriptures, honey.
We didn't even open it. We just got started. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time together, Lord, and the encouragement, Lord, of hearing the testimonies, Lord, of your goodness and your healing power and your care for us, Lord, your care for each and every aspect of our lives, Lord. So Father, I pray right now for everyone that's here and everyone's hearing my voice, Lord, that you would bring an encouragement to their heart, no matter what situation they're in life, Lord, whether they've gotten bad news about family or bad news about health or about work or good news, Lord. We pray that you would help them, Lord, to realize that in you they live and move and have their very existence. And Lord, that they can trust and hope that you have their very best in mind, that our sins are forgiven, and that we are loved. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, one more thing I was going to tell you. When we went into Moses' mom's room at hospice, you could just feel like the power of God there. I mean, more than I probably have felt before in a hospice room.
Yeah.
So just know that the Lord is really working there and in that family, and just pray that she's holding on for a reason. Just pray that that reason gets taken care of and she can go to be with Jesus, because I know she's
That's
ready.
That's
what she wants.
We went down a couple weeks ago and we had a time of worship and prayer with her, and she absolutely loves the Lord with all her heart. And so that's what those grandchildren are seeing, like Dominic, like I want what my grandma has. And it's just beautiful to see all of these young people that look at this woman as being the spiritual heritage, because grandpa's been gone for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And it's been her holding the family together, like her prayers and her encouragement and her admonition and sometimes her stern hand of discipline that's like said, you need to be with God, you need to be in his presence, you know, this is what you need. And so they saw the works of God displayed in their life, their whole life. That's
yeah.
I mean, Moses, you know, because that's, he's one of the, I mean, all of the boys are like that. And so yeah, she just, the presence of God is so strong in that room, and there's so many of them, you know, coming and going. So really be praying for the family, because this is the first time in a long time that they've suffered this big of loss.
Yeah.
And Mama going is going to be hard for some of them. So, and little Adam's heart is really being affected. And Andrew too, but more Adam than Andrew. And so just really be in prayer for the whole family, not just, you know, about that, but how their hearts are going to take this, and that God's works would be seen through this whole situation with Mama and the family. So make sure you're in prayer for them continually, please.
And if you have Moses or Gina's, just send them a text. Let them know that your heart's with them, that you love them, and that you know that God will be with them and encouraging them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.